If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things, episode 167, sponsored by Manscaped. Suns fan here with Cindy. Just had to start it off with a little bang. I may have just eaten something that was quite spicy, and that gives me slight indigestion. But you know what doesn't give me indigestion is Manscaped products. Welcome to Fresh Ball Fall. It's the season of pumpkin spice and making sure your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in a fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company here to make sure that your foliage isn't the only thing shedding its excess leaves. Heck, even Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for fall. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code WESAYTHINGS. Again, as we always say, they have great products, not just for trimming your testicular area, as I like to call it, but they got chapstick, they got body wash, they got shampoo, they got conditioner, they got everything you may. They even have, what's that thing called? Ball toner.
Mm.
Very important for my traveling, if I do say so myself. But yeah, if you go to manscaped.com and type in We Say
Things.
Or you
Ned from the Try Guys?
We Say Things promo code, you get 20% off and free shipping. Sorry, what?
Oh, never mind.
All right. Okay, great. Let's say thank you to our beautiful In Bruges tier patrons, starting with Stupid Copilot. Hello, would love my shout out name to be please sponsor Hakori. Hashtag not an ad. This was actually coming from Dota 2 Bowie. He is a patron now.
Oh.
I do want to say one thing. And we're going to get to TI invites, and we are not going to talk about snubs. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk about it now. Bowie was snubbed hard. I don't understand how that's remotely possible. This guy is very talented. He's very hardworking, very personable. I feel like they literally just forgot. I have no idea. For the Spanish coverage and all that, I really don't understand. But that is beyond me. So sorry to everybody that got snubbed. I know what it feels like. Feels fucking bad. Also, thank you to, terrible segue, to Freezy, TM, Mr. Cakes, A Scorpy, Mr. Stark, I don't feel too good about PGL's ad. What is the meaning of life? Answer me, please. Oscar Seeker, Ladies Night at TI or We Riot. Roundy 3, Valve not paying PGL for TI only to have GGBet sponsor PGL means Valve is sponsored by GGBet. Good job, Valve, not an ad. I like how this not an ad thing is catching on. Disco Farm D, I am once again asking to say my name. Simply Stooge, Silly Stooge, Salacious Stooge, Sadistic Stooge, Scathing Stooge, Sen, Milan Miami, the Mega Pope. And I'll let you continue, Sindarin.
We say things that do not mean anything, so thanks for listening. Tia in New Zealand, San Xavier, Nate Thicko 01 Hamscroats, Bacon, Shark TM, Freshly Seasoned Goat Balls, Janie, Dop. Nothing to see here. Underscore man. Ivremore, I reinstalled Dota after 3 years to play Ability Arena, and I just love it. Also, get Seb, please. Ben Broomhead can't believe they didn't do Faceless Rex for the Arcana. How long have you not been able to believe that for by now?
Endless.
Wooden Aftertaste, Anonymous, and Peter, one of the most difficult English words to pronounce is...
Wow.
Niebling. Thank you.
Otorhinolaryngealist.
Otorhinolaryngealist, I think.
Oh, otorhinolaryngologist.
Otorhinolaryngologist, right?
What does that
Maybe?
Mean?
Uh, isn't that the people that do ears, nose, and ear, nose, and throat?
Okay, that actually does sound right, because rhino is nose and laryn is throat.
Laryn.
Otor is audio.
It's got to be the ears.
Sure. All right.
Otor, rhino, laryngologist.
I don't know how much of a discussion this is because, and we talked about this off air, there's kind of a weird time. There's stuff that hasn't been talked about either officially or, well, officially, that makes this podcast difficult to do, to say the least. So we are being very careful, as you might imagine. But Sindarin and I have been invited to the International. Congratulations, Sindarin. This is like the 21st, 22nd time for you, right?
Well, I'm not going to count how many times I've been invited.
You've stolen jobs how many times at TI?
Oh, that's a lot of times, man. What can I say?
I wish
what
I could
are you
say,
referring to, Shan?
I'm talking about TI 2. I remember
I
that.
I guess we should give a little bit of background on that, actually, now that you say it.
Sure.
I look like a complete cunt, but only like a half cunt.
Okay, sure. I like half cunts, sure.
So at TI 2, after I got knocked out, I was playing with MTW at the time. And Valve asked me at that time if I wanted to cast some games, because a lot of fans enjoyed my casting back then as well, that I did on the side. And I was like, sure, that sounds good. But the way it happened was that I was casting instead of Slesh, who was already hired for the event. And I accepted. I was like, yeah, I would love to cast. It would be fun, but I want it to be okay. So I also had to talk with, or had to, this is the wrong wording. I talked to him in private as well about it. And the way I remember it, I think it's one of those things where he accepted, because I also think he was getting paid his rate regardless, but I don't know how much he actually, like, how do you even say that? Man, that's so many years ago. Like, I think he was disappointed, but he accepted that that was what Valve wanted. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I didn't, like, steal someone's work.
You stole his job.
You know, that's...
Yeah. Anyway, because of, you know, what I preface this entire topic with, I think that's the end of the discussion.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of other people that got invited.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I don't think we can go over literally everyone who got invited, because that's a really, really long list.
It's the longest list of all time, yes.
I guess what I can say is, if you guys are curious about who has been invited to TI, and also who didn't make it this year, obviously everyone has their favorites, and not everybody got to TI this year, as usual. You can check the list of everybody who got invited by booting up the game and looking at the talent list there. In the Battle Pass that you can see it? I think there's also official... Where's the official announcement with all the talent?
Probably on Twitter.
I think... Because I think they announced them one language at a time, right?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to remember if Dota 2 tweeted it or if it was just Wickram. Because I know Wickram
I actually don't remember that either. But I will say the most comprehensive list you can find is within the game. And this year, the TI invites... There's more people, first of all, I think, than usual. And it's separated into five primary languages, right? So it's English, Chinese, Spanish, Portuguese, Brazil, and Russian, Ukrainian, right? Did I say five there?
Sure.
I think I did. So, yeah, there's a lot of people involved this time. I think in terms of, like, total amount of people working TI, this is probably the biggest one yet, if I'm not mistaken. It feels like there's a lot.
It's definitely, yeah, 100%.
So okay, that's good to see, for sure.
Let's segue that into the voice line and sticker drama, which I am so thankful that this happened right after our podcast, so that we had a week to not only think about it, but also have things change, so I wouldn't put my foot in my mouth. So what occurred was last week Valve came out with a new, God, I hate this. I actually hate this, Cinder. I, I feel like this is something I can talk about. It's not like it's inside knowledge at all. So mm-hmm. they came out with stickers, and they were attached. They've already come out with stickers with pro players, which some of them were bundled up in like groups of five or something like that. I didn't know exactly. We talked about it on the podcast, mm-hmm. of course. I didn't know exactly how it worked or what the cuts would be or anything like that. And of course, keep in mind, when talent are negotiating rates and, you know, being hired for TI, part of the, it's, again, trying to be very careful here. Part of the expectation when accepting certain rates is having a decent idea of what the voice line or whatever, you know, the extra thing is going to be, because TI4 was the first TI I was invited to, and that was the first year they did autographs. Last year they did voice lines for the first time. So everybody assumed that it would just be the same because we were told nothing else. Then last week occurred where they came out with these stickers with, it was 49 people in the talent, and everybody is sharing the same cut because it's a complete, it's a loot box, right? You right. purchase something. What was it? Like, how much was it? Was it $5?
I think $1.
So let's say $1, and mm-hmm. you had a chance to get one of the 49 stickers. And then past that, there were rarities. Like, I think four rarities. The first two, you only got the sticker, I think, just that. Mm-hmm. And then the last two, which were much rarer, you would get the voice line, which was permanent.
Yeah.
So a lot of complaints from many people. Community, obviously, it feels bad because you're buying a loot, like you can't really buy who you want. And if you do want to buy who you want, you have to buy it through the marketplace, which I've talked about this before in the past. This is not like leaking anything, but none of that will go to the talent. That's 100% just Valve. So like certain people were getting like $200, $300 stickers. None of that's going to them. So on one hand, it's kind of like a gambling thing, which we weren't notified about, so that rubbed people the wrong way, which for me, and we can talk about this, for me, gambling doesn't bother me per se. I think it's two things that do bother me about that. Number one, the expectation level. We had no idea that was happening. And number two, consumer, that's really bad for our fans to support us. Really fucking bad. But luckily, they came out with, a few days later, September 30th, which is now, I guess it was only a couple days later, they come out with an update saying, yesterday we shipped an update which added a capsule containing talent stickers that unlocked talent voice lines. Upon doing so, fans and talent alike reached out expressing unhappiness with the product. Our intention was to create a compelling system that allowed fans to connect with their favorite talent in a different way than in previous years. And we fell short of that goal. We are sorry for that, and we intend to correct it. In order to address the issues, and after talking to some of the talent that have reached out with concerns and proposals, we're adding the option to directly purchase a talent's voice line with 50% of the revenue going exclusively to the talent. Players can purchase these voice lines directly from the talent page in the Battle Pass. For players that have already purchased and opened talent sticker capsules, those stickers will continue to function as before. As with voice lines unlocked via stickers, directly purchased voice lines are also used are usable permanently. Your thoughts?
Yep.
So that was obviously a good 180. So
that is basically one-to-one with last year, I believe.
Pretty much, yeah, I think so.
Everything. So I believe the price is the same as last year. I believe the cut is the same as last year. So yeah, effectively, they tried something else and they got some backlash for it. And what's, like, if you think about it, this implementation is more or less the same as the team capsules, which didn't really catch much flack, right? Because they were segmented, like you said, into like subsets, and people will try to get stickers of their favorite teams. They will trade them like a trading card game or whatever to fill out their libraries of stickers, and they know that half of it goes to the teams. I think what's fundamentally different about this is that, like, let's say there was just stickers with talent. I don't think, like, they implemented it like the teams were. I don't think anyone would have really complained. Like, then it would have just been a thing. But the thing is, the voice lines, which are really, like, one of the primary things of the Battle Pass for a lot of people, and one of the primary things that get in the game from TI in general, the fact that they were loot boxed was something that was really negative. So to explain, let's say there were regular stickers for talent, and then you could buy the voice lines separately like you usually could. I think that would have been pretty well received. I think people who wanted to collect stickers would do that. The people that only cared about the voice lines would get that. But the thing that people found really predatory about this was that you effectively had to open, I believe, your chances of getting the voice line. If you did the math on it, I believe the chance of getting a specific talent's voice line was 1 in 1,200. And that's because there's like you said, there were 40-something people in the talent capsule. Then you needed to roll the specific talent you wanted. And then you needed to roll the specific rarity you needed, which was,
and what,
I think, 4.5% or something.
Oh, okay. So it was at 4.5% to get any voice line then? What was that?
So I think the holos are like 3 point something, and I think the golds are like 1 point something. So like or maybe it's 4% in total between the two. I'm not 100% sure, but it was like something very low chance. So people that wanted a specific voice line essentially kind of had to, you know, go to the market and get it there, because it's just not feasible to keep rolling until you get the right one, because you would spend on average $1,200 to get the voice line you want, right? And that's just not, you know. So I think what Valve were imagining was that people would open some capsules and they would trade the cards, and effectively a lot of people would, you know, eventually, because there's a lot of people buying these, there would be a market of supply and demand on it. But I just think probably the rarity that they made for these voice lines was just the wrong call. I think if the chances would have been a lot better, there wouldn't have been this outcry, right? Let's say every fourth one was a holo, or every fifth. Then you kept the $5, right?
Well, you're talking about, in addition, that plus being able to buy them individually, right?
Exactly.
Because if it was still that, if it was just better odds with the same system, I think it still gets shit on.
Yeah, it would still be received pretty poorly, but at least that would have been better, right? I think it was a combination of the fact I can't support the talent I want to, whose work I like the most, and I would love to have their voice line because I'm a fan, and I can't support them directly, and I can't obtain it feasibly, right, without paying an overprice, because all of the voice lines that were on the market on day one were clearly more expensive than $5. So just because of scarcity, right?
So I have an honest question for you. Mm-hmm. Keeping in mind that Valve is very data-driven, not emotional, mm-hmm. not emotionally attached, let's say. How much, let's say out of 100%, because they claim that people, that it was the backlash. Mm-hmm. How much of the percent of the reason for changing it was backlash versus people not buying the stickers? Because I have a hard time believing those things sold well at all. There's no fucking way. The whole idea is weird. Somebody at Valve is just pushing these stickers, and I've said this in the past, I could be totally wrong, and I'm just like not out of my element, but maybe it's just not catered to my taste, but I'm in the minority. I feel like that's not true, though. Who gives a shit about stickers?
I would imagine that based on this, the experience they had with the player capsules, because they had time to look at how well they sold, right? They probably had the expectation that there would be parity with that, and then based on that it might be better than previous years of direct voice line sales for talent. But again, they're the ones with the data. I don't know. And sometimes when you implement new systems like this, you also test them, right? Like, they might have had an expectation but not had the data yet. And then, like you said, based on what happened day number one and the backlash, but keep in mind, they didn't take out the capsules, right? They're still there. So I think they're still, you know, you can choose to go that route if you want to collect the stickers, and if you hope you're getting lucky and getting a holo or a gold card. I mean, realistically speaking, just buy the voice line that you want instead of rolling for it, because the odds are not in your favor for that. But if you do care about the stickers and the quality of them, then that's still obviously the only way to obtain them. You can't just be like, hey, I just want this one holo or this gold card, buy it in the game. You're either rolling or you're buying it on the marketplace if you're a collector of that stuff. But yeah, I think it's probably fair to say that most people care way more about the voice lines on average than they care about the stickers, right? So with that in mind, I think it's only reasonable that people can buy the voice lines directly and support the talent that they want. So that's basically it. I genuinely don't know how well this performed compared to last year. There's no way for me to know. I also don't know how well they performed compared to CSGO. I would imagine the CSGO stickers do significantly better because of the implementation in the game. That's what we talked about last week, I think, right? That it would be nice if the stickers could somehow be a part of the base or be on your hero physically in the game or something.
Well, so I think
like an implementation of that.
I don't think that's possible. I think it's just a game limitation. Like
it might be.
Like I mean, you can make
what
like
are they called the effigies in the base, right? I think you could definitely make a way of implementing stickers onto the effigies or something. Like it's a matter of wanting to, right? But they probably think it's not worth it.
Effigies. I don't know. I mean, there's a reason they didn't upkeep effigies in Source 2. Like, aren't they? Maybe. They haven't been updated in God knows how many years. Like, anyway, this whole thing was a bit. It was kind of a roller coaster. It was very weird. but yeah, I mean, this again, like prefacing everything from the start. This whole year is kind of weird, which maybe we can talk about at some point. Next weird thing on the list, JMR Luna of the OG Monkey Business podcast. I don't know if he actually sourced anything, but he heard that there will not be a true site this year. And the reaction from like Seb and No-Tail, especially Seb, obviously quite negative. Do you think that that is a possibility? Do you think it matters? Do you think that means anything? Your reaction.
Okay, so...
This is not confirmed at all.
Right, this is just a rumor. And that obviously means that it could either be untrue or that it could change. But either way, like let's operate under the suggestion or the idea that they don't make TrueSight next year. There's a couple of possible reasons for that. Many things in Dota, or at least multiple things in Dota, are, I think, for example, like TI, there's a subset of people at Valve that are passionate about this project and are running it. And as is the case with a lot of things, a passion is not something that is necessarily forever on something you like. I'm sure everybody recognizes that from themselves. You're in love with something for X weeks, X months, X years, and eventually you're looking for something new and want to do something else. Peace be with that. If that's the case with TI, for example, that was what we were talking about, I think, a couple of weeks ago. If Valve are losing a little bit of the fire that they have for TI, peace be with that. They shouldn't stop running TI. They should get other people to pick up the pieces and run it and effectively outsource it to the degree that they need to in order for it to exist, and then have a little bit less hands-on. But still, you know, maybe control certain things like the battle pass and stuff. I'm thinking it's possibly something similar with this. If this rumor is true, that whoever is running the primary parts of organizing and setting everything up with TrueSight, perhaps they are not interested in doing the project anymore. They've done it for a few years now. Maybe they have new things they aspire to do, and nobody is willing to pick it up. At that point, as Valve, you can choose, okay, do we hire... outside, because I believe the majority of what has been run, this could be untrue, but I believe at least a majority of the initiative of this comes from within Valve. A couple of people that are really into video creation and content creation that wanted to do this. If they are doing something else, maybe they don't work for Valve anymore, maybe they work on another project, whatever it is. Are you going to hire outside video producers to make TI for you? Is it going to be the same vibe? Is it going to be the same feel? Do you think it's going to represent it the way that you want? That's one concern. The other one is it worth it? Which I think is also very possibly likely here, that you've run this TrueSight for some years. It's very expensive to make a production like this. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of manpower. And it takes a lot of setup. A lot of preparation. Considering Valve's generally hands-off approach when it comes to marketing and advertising the game, this is like we talked about last week, this is one of the closest things they have to advertising Dota. And if they feel like it doesn't have enough of an impact and it's really expensive, then from a business standpoint, like maybe it's not worth running it. And we obviously want them to continue doing things like this because it makes our game look good and it promotes things and, you know, it's part of the life of the game.
Yeah.
But
well, I think from my side, in a vacuum alone, I don't think this is a big deal if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But when you add on everything that has happened this last year, I think being concerned is a fucking understatement, how I feel. And I know that a lot of talent feel the same way as me. A lot of community members that aren't casters feel the same. Like, this, what is a more apt word? Because disturbing is more scary. I guess maybe it is disturbing, but
concerning, I think, is the best.
There's got to be a strong concerning. Well, anyway,
maybe.
Again, some stuff we can't talk about currently. Stuff like this, just things that feel like there's a lack of care to Dota lately. It feels like there has been a shift. I think there's no fucking question about that. There's been some sort of a shift. And then even things that, I know that there's a, be careful again. There's news coming out after TI from, let's just say, a third party, not directly related to Valve at all, but once it's announced, it's going to make some waves as well. The pitchforks will be out, most likely. It's just like domino after domino after domino. Like, the stickers thing, like, that happened at TI4, pretty much, right? In a way. I mean, it's a different scenario, but kind of the same idea, where they're introducing something kind of new, and it's very obvious to us. Like, if they had just talked to us, just like with the stickers, could have avoided everything to begin with. Like, I consider Valve to be, like, the smartest people, but obviously the bottom line is very important. But, like, the sticker thing, to me, that's common sense. Obviously, that's not going to be received well. Like, is that not common sense? Like, I don't know how it could be any more plain to see. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. I feel like the sticker implementation, if the voice lines weren't a part of it, nobody would have batted an eye, right? Like, that's what I mean. I think the two individual parts that we have with the capsule and with the voice lines, if they were separated from the start, I think that would have been a fine implementation. But probably, like you said, with bottom line, they might have data that suggests that if you put the voice lines into these capsules, it makes more money. And I do think that is true, probably overall. You said you aren't sure how well the capsule sold. I think over the lifespan of all of TI, and if some voice lines become really popular and are really good, I think a lot of people will want to hunt for them. But it's just like, again, for me, that's where the probability element comes in, where it's like, is it really fair to gate them at that price, right, for supporting talent, right? Because, like, obviously the talent are really happy to get extra pay from TI, right? Whether it's via a capsule or via direct purchases. Obviously, some talent are way more against the capsule concept than others are. Like you said, you don't care too much about the element of a capsule. I personally don't care about it too much either. But what I do care about is that if people, like, obviously the odds are there for everyone to see, right? I think you can, that at least that's a legal requirement in a lot of countries, right? That you have to be able to see what your chances of getting things are. That's one thing, but I think for me, the problem was just the chances themselves, more so than not being able to support me directly. But I'm not sure I'm in the majority on that part. And I just think this implementation is better. So, because then people can choose what they want. And I mean, it kind of ties in with, you know, the development of the workshop in general, where people used to be able to, you know, buy the set they want and get that. And now everything is in chests, right? So you have to roll.
Yeah.
And the difference between chests and this was that the stuff was at least marketable, because a lot of the chests are untradeable and unmarketable, which is why people, you know, they're like, there's a chest and you're like, oh, 3 out of these 10 sets I really like and I really want. Well, then on average, you're opening more than 3 chests to get them. So in terms of, like, profit, there's more there. And that's the development that the market workshop has had, which I have no doubt in my mind that that's more profitable, but then it's about, is that the right thing to do for your customers? Or could you find, like, a balance at least where it's somewhere in between?
I want to remind people, I did see a couple people chatting about it, and I maybe, because it's kind of a short episode, TI4 chess, just to remind, this is what happened. We've talked about it many times, but it was the introduction of autographs for the first time. And I think people, I think you spent $1.50. I forget what the numbers were, but you get half of it.
Something like that.
Yeah. It was the first time ever being implemented. And the way that it was set up, I can't remember the original way because it was worse. But the way it ended up still kind of fucked some of us, including me and I assume you. Let's say, I'm just putting out a random number here. Let's say somebody is offered to work TI for $13,000. Mm-hmm. Let's say they make $8,000 off of voice, or not voice line, autographs. Okay. They would still be paid $13,000. They were guaranteed up to a certain point that Valve would pay. So technically Valve would have paid $5,000 in that difference, right? Because $8,000 is coming from the community and $5,000 from Valve. For people like me, I made more than the minimum. I think you did too. So TI4.
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't remember though.
Okay. That's well, I
don't think so.
I was among several people that made more than the minimum. So what that means is the community literally paid my entire paycheck at TI, which is fucking weird if you think about it, right?
Yeah. So that was also changed.
Yes. That was only for 1 year, but that was a big drama back then. And I remember it vividly because me being angry about it may have hurt me career-wise, but impossible to say. Okay. Yeah.
I think it was first publicized by Too Good, right? After Shanghai Major, when he wrote his manifesto, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think that was the at least the most openly presented version of that instance. So, yeah, I don't think that was a good implementation either. But yeah, to get back on topic about the whole TrueSight and the vibe, I think so. What I'm gathering is that a lot of people, and us included, right, we're a bit concerned about how it feels like Dota's trajectory is based on. I'm not gonna like say every specific, but you know, like you said, it's just kind of a vibe that you've been getting over the last year that maybe it's not getting the same attention that it used to, or the same love and the same care for the game. Like I said, how long has it been now? It's been 11 years, right? But we want it to go on forever, right? We want this to be an amazing game and continue, you know, getting the same attention. But at the same time, maybe, you know, maybe it's unrealistic. Maybe it's a pipe dream that it's going to be there forever. And maybe some of the people that have been really influential and really important to the flow and the development of the game have moved on. Either they're not with Valve anymore, or they've changed projects or something like that. And you're going to see the ripples in the water over time when really crucial people leave. It's the same for other games, game studios, etc. So I want to be hopeful that this is a temporary thing, or that our feel is just off, or that COVID messed things up, or whatever it is. But it is kind of a vibe that a lot of talent, and I think a lot of the community, is having, that Dota is not the number one priority for the same people that it used to be. And if that's the case, we just hope it doesn't end up on live support, right? Like, that's what we're trying to avoid here, is that, okay, if some of the people that really spent a lot of time and effort on Dota aren't on it anymore, hopefully others want to step up to the plate, or you need to start outsourcing a little bit. Because it feels like it would be a shame if you just, like, some doomsayers in the community are like, oh, this is what happened to TF2, that's where we're headed. I don't think it's that bad, okay? Like, take it easy, guys. It's still, Dota's still a really big game. And we're still getting a lot of, you know, updates or content, just not to the same extent that we used to, it feels like. So, yeah, I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but that's the vibe.
I wish I could add more stuff, Sindarin, but maybe after TI we can talk more, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a weird year. I wish I shared your optimism, but you know me, negative Nancy here.
Oh, I don't know how optimistic I am. I'm just saying it's not TF2.
You're hopeful.
Like, some people are at that level. I don't think we're there.
Of course not.
Because the game's too big for it, right? But, like, let's say certain people, or, like, I don't know, maybe a subset of people that were working on Dota a lot or whatever are doing other things, then I think it's probably not realistic to think that you're just going to replace them one-to-one, right? And then the game will just flow the same and you're going to get others that do it. But hopefully you don't just like, you're not just like, oh, okay, these people that did a lot for Dota and did other stuff, too bad. Let's see how it goes-ish. And again, I hope I'm just wrong about the vibe here, and that transition period and it takes time. But
right. I think the big potential, this is the hopeful turning point. After TI, that there is a giant patch with terrain changes, actual terrain changes, not like tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen, we're that's scary, scary fucking business. I mean, I'm acting scared because it's literally, I mean, you guys follow a lot of us. This is our livelihood. We have legitimately dedicated our entire lives to this shit. So it's scary when the entity that controls everything is feeling kind of unstable in a way, you know, or you can't see what they're trying to even do. So it's weird. Okay, on to a happier note. SAP segment's back.
Woo!
Yeah,
there we go.
SAP back in the house. We
Savior
are gonna be,
of the episode.
We are going to be doing some questions for ourselves again, but we're going to be doing a little differently. It's all going to be TI related. And same with the questions towards the community. So I'll ask my question first. Guess what it's about?
Okay.
Guess what it's about?
Yeah.
Guess.
Mm-hmm. TI.
Agonyms?
I'm going to say, which one is it?
Or
Scepter.
Shards. It's neither. I got a real question for you.
No way.
I do. All right. For all the TIs being tracked, Tiny and Io are the most contested heroes of all time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which of the following heroes, it's only one of them, is not in the top five with those two? Okay?
Wait, which of the following what? So I'm getting a 50-50?
You're
no,
gonna
a
be,
three options?
I'm giving you four options.
Oh,
three
yeah, I'm
of
stupid.
Them.
Yep, go ahead. Okay, three of them are three, four, and five. Yeah.
Storm okay. Spirit, Enchantress, Weaver, Morana.
Oh, okay, so now we need to think TI history.
This is contested. So Tiny, just to give you an idea, 78%.
Pick and ban.
Yes, pick and ban. So Tiny is 78%, which is crazy. Io
wow.
is 69, which is nice.
Nice.
So
who do you say? Weaver, Morana?
Storm Spirit,
Storm.
Enchantress, Weaver, Morana.
I'm going to say Weaver is in the top five because he's been out since ages ago. It's just, it's not just percentage, right? It's total amounts of picks and bans, right?
That's
because
a good
then,
question.
Because
I mean, based on my list,
the time
it's
frame
both.
Doesn't matter.
Based on my list, it's both.
Okay. I am going to say Storm Spirit.
Congratulations, Cinder, and you got it correct. I don't know if you can hear my clapping. Oh, my mic
Hello?
Is so good, it probably
Oh, I couldn't hear you clapping.
It.
I was like, did I lag out? I was like, I gave an answer, and you said nothing for 5 seconds. Like, is this good
correct.
Or bad?
So
yes.
Enchantress was third, Weaver fourth, Morana fifth, Storm was seventh. So he's still up there at 42%. Right. Congratulations.
Bulba accounts for like 30 of those, actually.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd fall for that red herring, but not today. we might be tied on. I've lost track of how
we
terrible
are.
We are.
I was one behind. I think we both have three correct right. answers now out of like 30. So
me,
pretty good.
Get me back up then.
All right. Which of the following is not in the top 10 TI total hero kills of all time?
Total
is
hero
a...
kills.
Yeah. So
not in the top 10.
Who is not in the top 10 of these players of getting just kills at TI
oh,
in
it's
general?
It's players. Okay.
It's players, yeah. Okay. Is it A, Dendi, B, Mushi, C, S4, or D, Ice, Ice, Ice? One of them is not in top 10 total kills at TI.
I hate you. All right, let me write these down. We got
Dendi, Mushi, S4, and Ice, Ice, Ice.
Ice, Ice, Ice has been like every TI. I'm going to rule him out. S4 has been to a lot. Dendi hasn't been back in a while. Mushi. I hate myself. I'm going to say Dendi.
You're saying Dendi?
I'm saying Dendi.
Wow, this is the first episode. We both got it right, Jim.
Yes!
Let's go!
Sorry, Dendi.
Amazing.
You're a great... person, great player, of course. I'm very sorry for betting against you, but yes! God, I'm good.
I mean, it's not like a tragedy not being in the top 10.
I'm so sorry, Denny. I'm so sorry.
Wow. It's kind of crazy, right? He was in 3 TI finals in a row.
Yeah.
But he's not in the top 10 anymore.
Well, has he been back to TI since TI 5?
He played TI 6 as well.
Oh, did he
play? Navi, right?
Oh, okay.
Did he?
I don't remember.
Maybe he didn't, actually. Shit, I don't remember. But yeah, Dendi is 12th. Mushi is 10th. ISIS is 8th. And S4 is actually 5th. I was surprised by that one. I know he's played a lot of TIs, but...
Who's first?
I don't know if I want to tell you that. I might use that for a question later.
Okay, that's fine.
Should I just tell you so I can't use it as a question?
I won't remember.
You will remember.
Okay, what is it?
But,
too curious now.
It's Sumail.
Really? So young. Wow.
I believe it is. If I'm not mistaken, it is Sumail.
Wow. I would not have guessed that, actually.
So he played every TI player since TI 5, right?
That is
Until
true.
Until this year.
That is true.
So he played 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and a lot of the runs were really deep. He won one. He got top 3 twice, I think, or something.
Yeah. He got top 6 last year. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Cool.
I think Sumail was number one.
Okay, so thanks to the community for asking some questions about TI stats in the comments. Today, instead of answering last episode's question, because there was none, some basic facts about the data we have, or SAP has, for TI 1 through TI 10, excluding qualifiers. 81 teams have participated at TI, aka organizations, 382 players, 1,659 matches, and... The first TI question from the community comes from Michael Reynolds, who originally asked which TI had the longest average game length, but we're going to rephrase it and say, how long is the average game length of the TI with the longest average game length? What? Bonus, which TI was it? Can you explain this?
Can you read it? Read it. Read it again.
How long is the average game length of the TI with the longest average game length? Okay, I get it now.
That's really not that complicated.
So TI4, I'm going to say definitely not.
Yeah. Well.
No, there's no way. No chance.
It was only really the final 2 days that started being this pushing shit that lasted 25-minute games.
Okay.
There were a lot of really long games at TI4.
All right, so if you want to answer in the comments... Yeah. Make sure to format your answer as in hashtag SAP esports, then the time of how long you think the games were, and then which TI it was. Okay, so hashtag SAP esports, time, TI, something. So average game length of the TI with the longest average game length. I'm going to say, you think it's an earlier one?
TI2.
I feel like it's an earlier one. It's not TI1.
TI3 also had a lot of long games. It had like these lone druid games. It had PL games. But it also, the finals also had 4 stomps. But Cinderin, that's not like indicative, right?
You played a TI1, right?
Yes.
Just checking because I couldn't remember if you did. How long were the games? You have inside knowledge here. Because I remember Spectre Anti-Mage every single game, literally.
Yeah,
or Tinker.
The thing about TI1 was that I think among all TIs, it was probably the TI with the biggest skill difference between teams. So a lot of games were really quick for that reason.
All right.
Like Navi were trashing teams, completely running them over. So were Ehome. So I don't think it's TI1. I think it's TI2 or 3, or maybe even 4, despite the last 2 days. But I don't think so. I think that'll pull the average down too much. Was TI5 long games?
I don't remember any of this.
Okay, I'm going to say TI2. And I will say the average game length of TI2 was...
Forty-seven? Okay, I'll say TI3, average game was 42 minutes.
It's always 42, isn't it?
That's right. All right. So again, thanks to SAP for being a part of this segment. If you want to work with cutting edge tech, SAP has plenty. Check out SAP's various open positions in sales, development, and technology. and consulting at jobs.sap.com or by clicking the link in the description below.
Below.
All right. And the final topic, we could probably do some Patreon mailbag questions as well. Ability Arena. Hey, I got a lot of comments that people didn't mind. They're like, please That's get good. Rid of the NBA segment and replace it with this, which we have today, I guess. Ability Arena 1.5 patch has come out, Sindarin. We have surprised people, hopefully, with two new free gods. We've removed Pudge because everybody hated him. And we've put in the Boomer from Left 4 Dead, so a new universe, Valve IP, easy to use. Yeah. And Bloodseeker, would you like to know what they do? Or would you like to tell me what they do? Because you can read
it. I can tell you what they do.
Yes.
So the Boomer has a passive which does when... Okay, that was really bad English. When your units die...
Hey, wait, hold on. You need to say the name of the spell. It's very important.
Okay, it's called Bile Explosion.
Thank you.
And the logo for it is Anthrax. Thank you, Shannon. Okay, yep. So it's a passive. When your heroes on the board die, they deal damage equal to 20% of the damage they have taken. That's right. So having tanky units will deal more damage, obviously, when they die. And in addition to that, they leave a puddle on the ground that lasts 5 seconds and 350 radius, where it gives 20% damage amp to all your other units. And it stacks.
That's right.
So here's the play, Shannon. You put four boys in the front that are big, and then you have one guy in the back that deals a shitload of magic damage, and you do this perfectly timed combo where all your big boys die, and then your backline guy cleans up in one spell.
That's right, Sindarin.
That is not good.
It's
okay.
A little hard to accomplish, but...
Yeah.
I've played... do you play this game at all, Sindarin?
I do.
Okay. Well, you haven't played the Boomer yet, right?
I've not played the Boomer. I mean, this is also very new, right?
This god, it came out today. This god is very fun. I love tanky builds, of course, but it seems across the board, everybody finds this god very fun, which I'm glad, because you can do a lot of cool strategies that you couldn't before. Like, you mentioned four frontliners. That is potentially a thing. Like, I think people have one to two frontliners normally. This changes the way that works completely, right? Centaur focuses on one unit. Boomer, you can put on as many units as you want. You can also have somebody blinking in to sacrifice themselves to give that debuff, right?
Yeah.
I've done that and it works really well. So I'm very happy with how the god has felt so far. And the second god that's been released, again, both of these are free gods, Sindarin, believe it or not.
Free!
Second god. Am I explaining it again? Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the second one is Blood Frenzy, which is Bloodseeker's spell. You put this on a unit on your team, and then whenever another allied hero dies, the unit that you selected gets 30 attack speed and 15% lifesteal.
That's right.
So effectively in the later portions of the game, when you have five units, if their Blood Frenzied unit survives as the last one, it will have 120 attack speed and 60% lifesteal.
That's right.
And this is only physical lifesteal, right? No spell lifesteal?
Correct.
So this is for a physical build, essentially, or at least your physical character.
So there seems to be, I want to call it a bit of a misconception that spell casting was far more powerful, which maybe it's a little bit more than we were experiencing in the internal beta because we got a bunch of gods that aren't released yet. But right-clicking is definitely viable. It has been. I do it literally every game, and I win almost every single game. Of course, I've played for a year.
Okay, humble.
Yep, humble brag there. Just got immortal today, by the way.
Nice.
But yeah, Bloodseeker, I felt like from the gods that we released initially for the first season, there was a little bit of a... I don't know if misbalance is the right word, but maybe too many spell casting and not enough right-clicky. So this kind of provides that with a cool little twist of making sure that, you know, you want that guy to be the last one alive, right? So positioning is very important. We've also added a few new spells. We got rid of Dragon's Blood, got rid of Lucent Beam, and we got rid of Boundless Strike. Now
is that how you're always going to do it? That you're going to remove spells to put in new ones, or will the pool be bigger at some point?
That is a good question. If you want me to be transparent, originally it was just going to be subbing in and out stuff because we were pretty happy with 150 spells and 50 being banned.
Right.
But I am open to experimentation having like 175 spells and 75 get banned. Does that make games too unpredictable? I don't know.
It allows you to re-implement Chaotic Offering.
It's in. It's back in.
Is it?
Yeah, I put it back in. We fixed the AI. The AI is fixed. So anyway, the new spells, those three were gotten rid of. We got Flesh Heap in the game. Obviously, it works not like in Dota because it would be too OP, but essentially it works the same way that Glaives do. So until you get, when you get super, that's when it starts counting the strength. It's still really good. The damage block alone is crazy good. The Gaben gives you Giant's Ring, which is hilarious. Blood Rage, kind of standard. It's just normal Blood Rage from Dota. Very high attack speed at the cost of HP, along with Spell Amp. The super allows you to cast it on an ally as well for free for half, you know, effects. And the Gaben is Bloodseeker Shard, which is the pure percent damage. And then Astral Spirit, I love this spell. Holy shit. We don't have that much like raw damage in the game, so this is like really helpful. But Astral Spirit, we had to nerf this one too because it's crazy. So after like a small delay, it tries to get the Astral Spirit on all the heroes and then comes back and you just gain a shit ton of damage. So the super just gives you more of it. And the Gaben is Elder Titan Aghanim Scepter, which is the magic immunity once it's back. So at the end of the game, it's a 10-second BKB, but delayed, obviously. It's still really good. In addition to that, we fixed a bunch of AI stuff. So Focus Fire should work. The Chaotic Offering, like you mentioned, had some weird AI with a bunch of other spells with similar stuff. So that's fixed. There's a ready button that nobody is using for some reason. It's only in the first round. If you ready up, it'll skip the rest of the timer and just go straight to battle. We got a lot of complaints about that. So make sure people, your friends know. We implemented new damage UI, and it shows damage dealt as well in a different tab and healing amount in another tab. So I think in terms of just like the UI that you're looking at in game, it's like all fully polished now, I think.
It also shows damage received, right?
Yes, damage received is the second tab.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of balance stuff that I'm not going to get into, but I'll put the link in the description if you want to read. I actually don't know if people care about the dev blogs. I find it fun to write. Like, obviously there's a big change log, but I like writing these dev vlogs that just talk about why we're doing stuff. I don't know if people care about it, so it's hard to gauge, you know?
It's your online diary, Shannon.
It kind of is. It feels therapeutic almost. So I enjoy doing it, so I'll probably continue doing it.
Do it for yourself. And if people like it, that's good.
Right. I guess a small couple other things for monetization. You're getting double the gold now that you used to because we miscalculated how much you should be getting. And we've changed the way that you get the recycling system is not the greatest advertised, but what would happen is before you would open a chest, you'd get a duplicate god, right? And that'll give you like a small refund, like a 25% gold refund, and then it'll add a tick to this thing. And once you hit 10, you get a golden version of that card. Problem with that is, which I haven't seen one golden card yet. Problem with that is like free gods don't drop from chests. So you would never get this. Mm-hmm. So we changed it to be 1 out of 100. And of course, anybody that had like 5 out of 10 or something, we just put them at 50 out of 100. Every time you get a duplicate, it adds 5 points. And every time you get top 4 with that god, it adds 1 point. So it's like a progression system almost.
Right.
So I think people will enjoy that a bit.
Yep.
And yeah, that's about it. So we're going to be working on season 2 now, and obviously still balance the stuff, some more stuff this season. And yeah, that's about it. So hopefully people enjoy the update. Don't expect 2 free gods every fucking month. This was probably a one-time thing. Run out of gods now. My goodness. Just using everything on the backlog. Okay. And with that, let's do a Patreon mailbag question.
Soon. Wait, I just realized you did not rebalance Gambler or Alchemist.
No, Gambler got... Right. No, Gambler was not changed. That's true. But Alchemist got a tweak. Small buff.
Oh, in this patch or last patch?
This patch. The thing I linked is my dev blog, and then in the dev blog at the beginning, I link the actual change logs, which are very large.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, you know, there were Maybe I can go over a couple things. I don't know.
Oh, I see it now. Yeah, that's pretty long.
Yeah, some of the gods were tweaked a bit, and... Okay, I'll just talk about this. Some of the stuff that we changed, obviously we made the stuff that was way too strong, just nerfed it. Like Eye of the Storm was crazy. Pulse Nova was crazy. Mm-hmm. There was an issue where we didn't have enough True Strike in the game, so we added MKB as part of Searing Arrows Super. Sleight of Fist Super now gives you Deso and True Strike, so now there's some options to go through evasion. And other than that, it was like, and we had some weird changes that we're kind of experimenting with. Like, I think Overload is going to be crazy now. So, okay, I'll talk about Overload and then we'll move on. I get excited with my own game. Sorry. So Overload, the problem with Overload, Sindarin, is the AI doesn't know. So the reason it's good is, first of all, it's on Storm Spirit, right? Use your ult at any point and it just procs it. So what you want to do in Dota is cast a spell, which is your ult or your Q or your W, whatever, and then attack, right? You don't want to do two things and then attack because you're not going to get the full damage. Problem is the AI doesn't know that, right? And it's hard to implement something that doesn't feel bad. So what we did is we stacked it. We lowered the damage and all that, but if you're casting like two spells, it'll just add on top of what the damage should be, and then when you attack, it releases all of it, right? Yeah. So I've played around with it. It is really fucking good now. Really good. Maybe too good. We'll see.
That sounds like a smart way of solving it.
Thank you. That's good. That was my idea, Sinner. Thank you so much. Not Jenkins.
You're
that was
very
me.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I take everything back.
All right, great. Okay, Patreon mailbag question from Stomach. Just had to make sure that was the right name. What would it actually take, in your opinions, for TI to be held in New Zealand?
Can we move New Zealand? Because then I think it would be fine.
What would it take? Well, I think it's a pretty clear answer. I think Gabe would just say, I want it in New Zealand. And I think it would be in New Zealand pretty easily, actually. Yeah. And I think that is the only thing that would make that work.
It's pretty clear that Gabe and maybe more Valve, I don't know, but are very fond of New Zealand, right? It was during COVID. Did he get stuck there or was it by choice? I think he kind of got stuck, right?
I think initially he got stuck and then he made kind of like a second home there. Yeah.
Yeah. He really likes New Zealand. So, I mean, there's some obvious downsides to New Zealand as the location for TI, right? So let's think of it in that sense. Like, what would you need to overcome? So the location is really fucking far away from a lot of things. So overall travel time, it's just more complicated than hosting it anywhere else, basically. I think New Zealand will have the longest average travel time for participants or TI. It's just so isolated and so far away. Aside from that, I think New Zealand, especially during COVID, was pretty tight with immigration, right? But if that problem is gone, let's say it's only the location. Let's assume location is the only downside, because I think in terms of like infrastructure, in terms of what the country has to offer, etc., I think it's a location that a lot of players would actually enjoy. So they might be able to, you know, they might accept, or I mean, every player will go anywhere to play TI. Okay, they're not going to be like, nah, I'm not going because it's in New Zealand. Like, that's not how it's going to be. So I think that one downside of the location being so far away, if everything else about it is good, I don't see a problem. I think if we have like great infrastructure, a good arena that's available, accommodation and everything, I think all it takes is, like you said, for Valve to think it's a good idea, because ultimately they choose the location, right?
It's just Gabe, Sindarin, let's be real.
I guess you don't think he says one more downside about this. When it comes to like fan bases, you obviously want a sold out stadium and you want fans to show up. I guess New Zealand is a little bit of a downside in that regard. I think they do have some big stadiums, right? But I don't know how big Dota is there. And if the players need to travel far, then so do the fans. So maybe that is a bit of a downside too. But I think people are going to show up anyway, to be honest.
Of course.
Even if it's in New Zealand. So
I mean, chat's making a good point that it's, I don't know exactly what the time zone is, but they're saying it's a very bad time zone for viewership.
Well, isn't every country bad time zone for viewership for other regions?
I mean, what are considered the best regions to get viewership? It's NA and Western Europe, right? I would assume. Like, in terms of AdSense, I can only speak on that from, like, a YouTube perspective.
Yeah, so, but
although
for
Australia
TI, it's different,
is very high. Actually, yeah. The number one, if I remember right.
What's the time in New Zealand compared to Singapore? Is it, like, plus two or something? It's not, like, that far off, is it? Maybe it's actually more.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you, Sindarin. Yeah, right, go now. Google it. That's good.
Okay, so the current time in New Zealand is Danish time plus 11. And the time in Zing... Okay, that is a crazy difference. Wow. Hang on. It's a five-hour difference. Holy shit, I did not think so. Okay. So, that means if the games are in the morning at 10, yeah, I guess that wouldn't be ideal, would it now?
What time would that be in U.S. time, if you don't mind?
So let's say US New East, Zealand... Time to Eastern. What is it your Eastern time is called? EST?
EST. So 10 a.m. New Zealand
plus
time.
Plus 17.
Is that 5 p.m.?
So when it's... Hang on. When it's 5:30 in the U.S. or in Eastern Standard Time, it is 10 or it's 10:30 p.m. in New Zealand.
Tim, give me 10 a.m. New Zealand. I can't do this. Is that 5 a.m. Eastern then? It's only 12 hours. That was
10 in the morning in New Zealand is 5 in the afternoon in the U.S.
That's amazing. That's fucking incredible time. What? Of course, problem is nobody.
It's a good time for the U.S.
But nobody watches Dota in the U.S., right? That's kind of the issue.
Yeah. So you're plus 7 from New Zealand.
5 Eastern is Eastern amazing is. Time for yeah.
Yeah,
but
it's great for U.S.
Then you go into
By extension, if it's good time in the U.S., it's terrible in Europe.
Yeah.
And that was the benefit of having TI in when we had it in the U.S. for those regions, right? I mean, it's always going to be at the expense of someone. You can't have one a good time for every region. But
yeah.
When TI was in the morning and at noon in the U.S., the viewership was really good for Europe.
Honestly,
if the games
TI
would start at 10...
in New Zealand would be the literal best schedule for me. Holy shit, it's perfect.
Yeah, it would be really good for
I can
that.
Wake up at 5 p.m., watch an entire day of TI, just doing my work, and then go to bed and the day's done.
I like
it's
that
great.
You're already assuming you're not there.
Oh, I won't be there at that point. No.
It's over, man.
I could be at home and watch TI. It sounds great. Did it for so many years. All right, let's do one more.
Okay.
Sure. So next question comes from Guitar Strings, recommends Important Flux from Han. What's something that triggers you about gamers these days? For me, it's when a person says they don't pay for games, only free games. Then they realize that they spent way more than a paid game. Another is when people say that single player games are boring. So I didn't have an answer to this. I'm going to go first, if you don't mind, Sindarin.
Okay, sure. I have an answer.
I have been getting triggered lately from my game because a very small segment are complaining it's pay to win. Okay? The reason this triggers me is because it is very obvious you don't know what pay to win means. If our gods that were quote-unquote paid were objectively better than every other god... then yes, that is pay to win. Guess who had the best win rate in the entire game by far before this patch, Sindarin? That's right, a free god.
Jamui.
Who will remain nameless. No, Jamui's not free.
Oh.
So, I think it's not just specifically for my game, but the idea of pay to win, it's like, it's mostly pay for convenience. Like, that's really the word you're looking for.
Yep.
And... you're not at a disadvantage. Like, we came out with two gods today that some people are saying, many people are saying, are overpowered right now. They're free. So I think what the problem is that Valve came out with Dota 2 that is 100% free to play. That has never been done, to my knowledge, with any other game. Maybe that's not true. And
that's
definitely
not true.
Of the big games, it was the first ever to do it. But guess what, Sindarin? They are a billion-dollar company that could risk it.
Yep.
They print money from Steam. The amount of money they make from the Battle Pass, you might as well wipe their Gabe's anus with it, because that's how irrelevant it is compared to what Steam makes every year. So yep. That triggers me. Complete bullshit. People are ignorant and stupid and dumb and morons, and go ahead, Cinnamon.
Right. Okay. So the thing that triggers me about gamers these days is how impatient they are in general.
I'm impatient.
I think just my experience as an older person now, I'm getting old.
I'm Shannon, an elder.
We're getting there. I feel like over the last, and I'm going to use Dota as my main frame of reference here. I feel like over the last few years, people give up way faster or get frustrated way faster, get angry faster and let it out on other people and just make it a less enjoyable experience. And I think this isn't just something that's in Dota. I think this is something that's like part of a bigger picture with just people's overall attention spans in games. That there's been a shift over the last 5 to 10 years. Things need to go fast. There needs to be shit happening all the time. And the way game development has gone as well is in that direction where, there just needs to be, it kind of feels like there needs to be like this dopamine machine that just pumps all the time. And I think that's part of a bigger, I don't know if I want to say problem, because at the end of the day, it's just a change, right? And if that's what people want to play, then that's what they want to play. Definitely. That's the overarching problem for me, that people are so impatient and get so angry when things don't go their way. That's annoying to have to deal with. Like, newsflash, you're playing a team game. Shit's going to go wrong. You're not always going to win. And sometimes games are going to be hard. And those are the games that are the coolest to win. Guess what? Coming back is fucking rewarding. Stop giving up when you're behind in your lane. Like, the thing you're saying about pay to win, where there's a perception from people of, you know, oh, I don't have this god, and I saw someone win with it, so it's the best, man. This game is so pay to win. I think this is like just a tangent on that. People's perception of when a game is over is so fucking off that it's funny. Like, people will give up games that they have a 40% chance to win. Why? Why are you giving up? You win this game 40% of the time. Like, is that not good enough for you? Do you have to have a positive chance to win to even want to play? I would fight for a game that you have 10% chance to win. If people want to play, if people don't want to play, okay, we can give up. But if there's one person who dies twice in their lane and starts yelling like it, don't get me started. All right.
I enjoy you raging. My goodness, it really feeds the soul, young man.
Yeah, this game really brings out the worst in everyone, doesn't it?
Not but grubby. But yeah.
No, he's warming up. Okay. Just give him time. Give him time.
How long does he need, you think?
That's a good question. I mean, the problem is here, he's set an expectation. So now he kind of has to hold up the persona from stream. But guess what? When he goes offline at 3 a.m., he's like, thanks for watching, guys. I'm back tomorrow. He goes and queues a single player or a solo queue game, and he fucking flames the crap out of everyone. He lets out all of his pent up frustration from the day. He lets it out on the poor herald souls that he's facing. He lets it all out off stream.
Oh, God. That's good.
Could you imagine? Like, imagine this. Let's say you're one of the really raging players in pubs, right? Even in, like, the high-ranked pubs where there's some people that are just insufferable. Imagine you're one of them and you sign a contract with an org and you have to stream and be PC the whole time, 5 hours a day. Mm-hmm. How do you think those people are going to handle it? They go offline on their stream.
Ooh,
my God, I feel like their walls are just going to be completely penetrated. They're just going to be slamming through all of their... Like, they won't have walls anymore. They will have slammed holes everywhere.
Yeah, it's just like Yawar's wall behind him when he plays. Definitely fists have gone through that thing. Okay.
I'm curious, though. Do you share the same sentiment that games have gone in that direction? Or is that just, like, something I think?
No, it's totally true.
I don't know how much 100%. You play other games. I feel like... Even something like exploration or traveling, like in games, going through areas to experience things at a slower pace, every game has fast travel, right? Like, it feels like you just need to go from A to B as quickly as possible and not really... This isn't every game, okay? It's like more of a trend.
I think if they give an option, that's good.
Yeah. But generally, I would just say games more often than not... nowadays are very much about immediate payout and less so about gradual development.
Not to talk about stuff that I'm not even that educated on, but TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's just short attention span. Like YouTube videos now, they're starting to be more like TikTok. Like, I'm too old, man. I don't know. I like my games the way they used to come, tell you what.
We can make our little own boomer lands and play Heroes 3.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
What a godly game.
All right.
Did you ever play that?
No. I've heard of it. Is that Heroes of Might and Magic?
Yeah, Heroes of Might and Magic.
No, definitely. That's an RPG. Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's an RPG now.
Yeah, something like that. It's one of those. Right. It's one of those kind of games.
Heroes of Might and Magic 3, my favorite RPG of all time.
Okay, hold on. Now I gotta... Heroes of Might and Magic genre. Okay, it's a turn-based fantasy-themed I mean, it's RPG, basically. Okay,
got it. Right. Close enough. Let's say it's an RPG.
Today, you all learned that is an RPG. Thanks for joining us. Buy our voice lines. Cinder and I have voice lines in the game that support us now.
Yes.
Don't buy the sticker thing, because that's a waste of money. All right. Goodbye. Have a good one, everybody.
Peace.
Bye.
We say things.
Subscribe.
Anything,
and playability. And buy our battle voice lines.